The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
And welcome to the Pride of Detroit midweek podcast, the one we call First Bite. It's our midweek interview show where we bring in a special guest. We are in the middle of our draft review process. We are all the way to Derek Barnes, the Lions' fifth pick in the fourth round. Before we get into all that, my name is Jeremy Reisman. I'm the editor-in-chief at Pride of Detroit and your co-host for First Bite. With me, as always, is Ryan Matthews at Ryan_POD. Ryan, how are we doing?
A little decorum today. You know, the podcast was kind of off the rails this week, but this is our serious suit and tie show.
Yes, we're trying to bring it all back to some seriousness and hopefully to bring some of that decorum with them. We have Mike Carmen, the beat writer for the Purdue Boilermakers over at the Journal and Courier. Mike, how you doing today?
I didn't know it was dress up day.
I mean,
I'd have put on a tropical shirt if that was a case.
It's all relative, to be honest. I mean, anything would be a little bit more dressed up than Monday show. But anyways, let's put that behind us. Let's talk about Derek Barnes. That's who we're here to talk about. I would say a very intriguing pick from the Detroit Lions, one that fans are definitely excited about. I think just by mere of the linebacker position being a weakness for this team for so long. Before we get into his skills as a linebacker, I'd love to hear your thoughts on Derek Barnes as a person, Mike, because we haven't really had a chance to talk to him much so far.
Well, at least early in his career, we had a chance to talk to him before COVID. So Derek's a guy that came in same year that Jeff Brohm came into Purdue back in 2017. He was part of that first class, and he played linebacker that first year for Purdue, and kind of went full circle. Right. But Derek's always been a kind of a pleasant player to deal with, at least from a media standpoint. Very engaging personality. Kind of knows. He's very very confident in his abilities. Very confident in what he's trying to say. But he's been a good person here at Purdue to deal with, and the fact that Detroit traded up to get him kind of speaks how Detroit feels about him and kind of the progress that he has made throughout his career, especially this past season, for him to get in that position to be drafted in the fourth round.
Yeah, and originally, Mike, he was just a two-star recruit coming out of high school and originally committed to Toledo, but then flipped to Purdue. Did that have a lot to do with Jeff Brohm getting hired in and him making the switch, do you know?
Yeah, it did, because Jeff would have been recruiting him at Western Kentucky before he came to Purdue. So Jeff did a lot of that his first year, where guys that they were recruiting in Western Kentucky, he tried to get them to come to Purdue, and he had a lot of success in that. And Derek's one of those guys that he had success with. And, you know, for Derek, it was a no-brainer. You go from the MAC to the Big Ten, an opportunity to play, you know, at one of the highest levels against some of the better teams in the country. And I do think that kind of has helped Derek progress and improve throughout his career, is the fact that he did play against the Ohio States and the Michigans and the Penn States and all those kind of programs. So I think he's put himself in a good position to have a long NFL career.
Yeah, and I kind of want to talk about that, kind of coming in as an unassuming two-star recruit. Was there any point, you know, whether it was in practice or maybe in those early years where he's just kind of a role player, where he stuck out to you as someone like, oh, no, this guy is going to be a playmaker here at Purdue and maybe even play on Sundays?
Well, the first thing you have to understand about Purdue football is that most of their team usually are two-star recruits, and three-star recruits. They do not get five-star guys very often. They do get talented guys. Jeff Brohm has upgraded the talent in a lot of areas, but across the board, they're going to get under the radar guys. Here's the thing with Derek. He came in as a freshman. He was a middle linebacker, and they had some injuries that first year. And I remember they went to Wisconsin middle of October, and Derek all of a sudden needed to start. He was going to be in the starting lineup against Wisconsin. Well, at the time, the Badgers have, first of all, one of the greatest offensive lines in college football, usually, but also Jonathan Taylor, who was a freshman. Third play of the game, Derek goes the wrong direction. Jonathan Taylor blows by him for a 69-yard touchdown. Nice. And so his career got off to a little bit of a rocky start. He had played earlier in the season, some special teams, and filled in linebacker, but that was his first start. Well, he's in there again on the next series, and Wisconsin scores again. So he comes out of the game. I think he settles down a little bit, but from that point on, he played well enough throughout his career, even changing positions, that you could see the progress, you could see the improvement, and he just – you know, he got into the deep end early, but got out of it, and all to his credit, put himself in a position. I mean, I was kind of hoping he would come back to Purdue for another year, just because I thought he had made a lot of strides last season. And I just, you know, here's an opportunity for a guy maybe to improve his stock even more in the NFL. But, you know, after thinking about it and looking at it, he made the right decision. He went while his stock was pretty high, and I think this is going to work out for him.
That's interesting. I like that story a lot because I feel like it shows a bit of mental toughness, right? Yeah. Like you go through that in your first big action and in a big game against Wisconsin, that could send a lot of people in a downward spin. But to see him kind of bounce back, whether, you know, maybe not immediately, but throughout his career is definitely a positive sign, I would say.
Oh, very much so. And the fact that they moved him from linebacker to what they call their Leo position, which is kind of a rush in spot. And he really, he kind of struggled early, but the second half of his junior season, he just kind of caught on and he was making plays in the backfield. He was harassing the quarterback. He was getting tackles for loss. He seemed to be very comfortable at that position. So then at the start of the 2020 season in spring practice before, you know, COVID really set in, they had moved him back to middle linebacker. And those of us that cover Purdue were kind of like scratching our heads. It's like, well, why are you doing this? I mean, here's a guy that really had, he probably was what the most improved player on the defense the second half of 2019 based on how he was playing. And now, although it's his natural position, you're going to move him back. But then the way he played in the six games that Purdue played last season, it was the right move. I mean, it's one of few things Purdue did right defensively last year, but he was a tremendous player for a defense that struggled. Just the way he played sideline to sideline and showed off his athletic ability was really impressive to me.
Well, I think that's a great story, Mike. They you know, just told us about the Wisconsin and then making the position change from, you know, playing linebacker to playing that Leo, that kind of edge rusher role. What would you attribute a lot of Derek's success to at Purdue? Because it seems like he was put in a lot of situations and a lot of scenarios where he had to kind of hit the ground running and kind of learn on the job, so to speak. So, like, what would you attribute a lot of his success to? Because it sounds like he's a pretty smart football player.
Well, I think you hit it right there. He is a smart football player, understands what needs to be done to put himself in that position. Here's a guy. I mean, this is a common theme with a lot of these guys, but, you know, just the work that he put in to be the best at whatever position he was going to play. And that showed off when he was playing end. I mean, he put the time in knowing that's the position they needed him to play. So once he got comfortable in that position, he just kind of took off. And it was same thing back with linebacker. Now, he didn't have as much to learn returning to linebacker as he did with defensive end, but just the way that he embraced it and the way that he went about his work. And he really, he's not a, you know, once you get to talk to him, he's not a loud, boisterous guy, but he's more of a lead by example guy. And I think that's kind of what he brought to Purdue's team. And, you know, the, on all, on both sides of the ball, just his leadership. And he really grew into that part and took ownership in that part. I mean, that's the other thing. You know, some guys, you know, they want to be a captain, they want to be a leader, but he really embraced it. And, you know, he had, you know, he would have to say things and do things to be that leader. And I think he did that. And I think that helped him grow not only as a player, but as a person.
Let's jump a little bit into like the specifics of his game and what makes him good. And I want to start as a pass rusher, and I'm not sure if the Lions plan on using him that much in that, but it seems like that's a tool he has in his tool belt a bit. You know, like you said, really came on at towards the end of 2019. I think he had 7.5 sacks that entire season, which again, kind of verifies what you were saying. Like it seemed like a head scratching move at the time to move him back to off ball linebacker. But what makes him good as a pass rusher? Is it just pure speed, or is he kind of a technician when he's rushing the passer?
I think this is overall athletic ability. And, you know, to be honest, I'm not sure we saw that when he played linebacker early in his career, because, you know, those guys are a little bit confined in where they play and how they play, especially if you're the middle linebacker. You're either going 5 feet to the left, 5 feet to the right, or you're going straight ahead. You typically don't go back that much, but you're usually playing forward. But when he played end, just his athleticism kind of showed off, because he was out on the edge. He was out in space. He had to make plays in space. He had to drop back in pass coverage. He had to do a lot of different things that maybe he didn't do all the time at linebacker. And I really think that probably helped him just overall grow into the player that he has become. But he's kind of sneaky fast. He's very strong, you know, but strength is relative to the day that you use it in the NFL, because there are 100 guys stronger than you are that you have to go up against. But he's got excellent technique, and I think that comes from a lot of the coaching and teaching that he received early in his career at Purdue. You know, I think he's got a lot of the ingredients there that fit into a total package. But you know, he's fast enough, and if you watch some film from last year, he made some plays where he had to go sideline to sideline. And whether he just knocking the guy out of bounds or whatever, but he was able to recover and make a play for them. And, you know, I just think once he kind of gets in some open space, I think, you know, his quickness and his speed kind of come to the surface.
All right. Good stuff from Mike Carmen, the beat writer for Purdue at Journal and Courier. When we come back, we're going to continue with Mike, talk a little bit about what we think about Derek Barnes' future as a Detroit Lion now that we know about his past at Purdue. So stick with us here on First Bite. We'll be right back.
What's up, guys? I'm Evan Turner, co-host of the Point Forward podcast, alongside Andre Iguodala. We got a special series out now, all about our favorite NBA cities, the greatest places to travel, the evolving cultures and cuisines, and some of our most memorable experiences while we were on the road during our many years in the NBA. We talk about Miami, Chicago, New York, and many more. Tune in to Courts and Culture, the Point Forward Travel Guide, sponsored by Hennessy. You can find it on Point Forward Feed on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we are back here on First Bite talking about Derek Barnes with Purdue beat writer for the Journal and Courier, Mike Carmen. You can find him at Carmen_JC on Twitter. Mike, let's talk about your projection, let's say, to the NFL level with Derek Barnes. And let's just start with physical traits and what you think translates best about his game to the next level, because obviously the college game and the professional game are completely different, but obviously the Lions took him in the fourth round, expecting him to something to translate. So what do you think, I guess, is his best asset that will translate to the next level?
Well, I do think his speed will be on par with most people he has to compete with and also play against. His strength will also be there as well. But he's going to be the type of guy that's really, I think, going to have to ease his way into things. And, you know, if that means he's got to be a special teams player for a lot of his rookie season or first season, then so be it. I don't know if he can jump right in and be a starter from day one. You know, a lot of dynamics are there, and you have injuries, you have other factors that go into that. And I don't know if he's an every down guy to start. I think eventually he can get to that point. Mm-hmm. I think he has the physical skills to be an every down player, but he'll have to improve his pass coverage. And if he's lined up, for example, if Detroit's playing Arizona and the guy that Arizona took in the second round, Rondale Moore, slot receiver from mm-hmm. Purdue.
Yep.
If Derek has to line up on him, I think Rondell's going to win that matchup, first of all,
yeah,
for a lot of reasons. But you know, he's got some work to do. He's got some studying to do. It's not only as you guys know, it's not as much the physical abilities, because everybody in the NFL has the physical abilities. Yeah. But I think Derek will have a chance to separate himself throughout his career based on kind of his mental approach and how he goes about that part of it. And I think he's a very smart player. He understands, and he's going to work on that part as much as his physical part to get on the field and play. But I see an easing into it for him. And I do think he can, you know, if he can do that and get in the right system and the right setup, I think he can stick around for a long time and be a productive player in the NFL.
Well, so, you know, a lot of good things to say about, you know, his physicality and his strength and things like that. But here in Detroit, over the past few years with Matt Patricia as the Lions head coach, linebackers have fit this very particular mold. They've been big, hulking, bruising guys. Now, it seems like Derek Barnes is a guy who has a lot more speed than any of the linebackers that we've seen in Detroit here in the past, you know, few years. To make things, a little bit more palatable, like, is there anything that you see out of Derek Barnes that you see on Sundays in terms of like, oh, he reminds me of this player, or he has shades of this player to his game, maybe, on Sundays, that you can think of?
Not off the top of my head. I don't know, who he
compares. Yeah, I don't mean to put you on the spot. I know it's a tough question, but.
It's a fair question, and it's just a hard question to answer because you don't know every trade of every linebacker that's out there. But, you know, based on what you were saying, if they're shifting their philosophy on getting, you know, what type of linebackers they're getting, if they want more mobile linebackers, guys that can go sideline to sideline and do some different things, I think Derek has a chance to fit that. If they were still looking for big, bulky linebackers that, you know, they wanted to win at the line of scrimmage all the time, I'm not sure Derek's going to be your guy for that. I mean, he's going to have to do some of that, but you know, I think his biggest strength will be just be his kind of overall athleticism and just kind of how he fits into whatever scheme that Detroit wants to do. But you know, it's hard to kind of, you know, to answer that because you just don't know every single other linebacker out there that, you know, he wouldn't be the top of the line linebackers. So my NFL knowledge on linebackers kind of stops with the guys that are making plays on a regular basis. So
Khalil Mack.
Yes, that's the guy. He's not Khalil Mack, but.
Oh, bummer. Well, so the one other kind of quick sidebar is, you know, he, kind of a smaller guy, right? Like 6 foot. You know, 238 pounds. So, I mean, he's got something on his frame, but was that ever anything that you saw as a detriment to his playing ability was his size or no?
Well, I mean, it depends on the game. It depends on the situation. I mean, when they played Michigan and when they played some of the bigger and better Big Ten schools, he was undersized just because they just had bigger guys. But, you know, I think, you know, you go back and obviously the Lions have studied the film. Other teams have studied the film on him. You know, it's kind of what you do with what you have. And, right. and I, you know, I think that, you know, teams saw enough out of him, maybe against an Ohio State, maybe against a Penn State or a Michigan, that, you know, here's a guy that can, you know, he may not fit the prototypical model of what you want, you know, size, all that from a linebacker, but he brings other intangibles there that kind of push him to the top. And that's the thing I kind of hate about recruiting in college football is there are a lot of programs that just, okay, if you're not this height, you're not this weight, you don't have this wingspan, then we can't, you're not going to be able to play for us. And that's hard. That's hard to, you know, because a player can do nothing about his height.
Right.
I mean, he just can't.
Right.
I mean, it's there. I mean, there's an example. I mean, there's a kid here in town, for example, goes to one of the local high schools. I watched him play in high school. Now it's high school, but he has a tremendous motor on the defensive line. He's a guy that gets after it. But he doesn't fit the Division One or high-level Division One height for a defensive lineman. So he's not getting any offers. And Purdue's not really close to offer. Purdue may offer him, and they may not, just because he doesn't fit that height. But if you know, if you look deeper inside to how he plays and how he goes about it, he's a guy that can potentially help you down the line. And that's, you know, and it takes some convincing. And it's just like the discussions the pro scouts have and the general manager. It's right. Like, yeah, he's not 6'4", but he's 6'2", and he can do A, B, and C here.
Right.
Where the guy that's 6'4" can't do A.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, I think, you know, Derek's got some things to overcome, but I think he's got the mindset to overcome them. And, you know, and I do think he will.
Right. And yeah, I think a lot of it is about the coaches putting him in the right positions, right? Like,
right.
like yeah. you said, you know, don't put him in a position where he's going to be matched up against a guard or anything like that. Yeah. And it's interesting because, you know, one guy that certainly had his eye on Derek Barnes the whole time is Chris Spielman. Who's in the Lions front office right now. And he said specifically before the draft, he wanted this defense to get faster. He wanted this team to get faster. And I think Derek Barnes fits exactly that. And I've seen Chris Spielman keep an eye on Derek Barnes specifically during mini camp. So he's going to have a heck of a mentor, so to speak, in the Lions front office there with Spielman. You mentioned, you know, maybe he's a special teamer in his first season. Is that something he did a lot at Purdue? And does he kind of have that? I mean, it's tough to be a special teamer in this league. Like, you have to have a certain type of mentality, a physical mentality, a team above all mentality, because it's not exactly the most luxurious of duties to do on a team. Do you think Derek Barnes will have any sort of issue if that's his role in year one?
No. I mean, he started out playing special teams at Purdue. And the beauty about playing special teams in the NFL is you still get paid.
Right.
Yeah, you still get paid. True. It doesn't, you know, if you're a rookie, doesn't matter if you play linebacker or special teams, you still get paid.
Yeah.
So there's that part. Of it. But I think in the NFL, and I'm just guessing here, that just getting on the field and playing special teams helps rookies kind of adjust to the speed of the game.
Sure.
And understand exactly what they're dealing with. And I think that's the same way in college. You can put some true freshmen out there in college so they get a feel for the game, a feel for how fast it is, even if you're just running down the field once or, you know, you're involved in some physical play, whether it be on a kickoff return or a punt return. It just kind of gets you going a little bit. And I think something like that can help Derek or any other player just kind of ease their way into the program so they feel a little bit more comfortable, because, you know, that first preseason game, you know, his head's going to be spinning and he's going to have to adjust to that, similar to what happened in his first start against Wisconsin.
Sure.
You know, boom, there goes Jonathan Taylor by him. You know, hopefully for him, the same thing. If you're playing the Colts in the preseason, hopefully the same thing doesn't happen to him this time. But yeah, I think special teams, I think he will embrace it. And I think any way to get on the field, those guys are going to do.
Yeah, and beyond special teams, Mike, for Derek Barnes as a player, you know, you talked about those adjustments he had to make while he was at Purdue, you know, playing off the ball, then playing some of that Leo role. Where do you think that his skill set will best translate maybe at the NFL level? Like, do you think it'll be like maybe on the edge as kind of like a pass rusher, or do you think that it might be better to kind of put him off the ball and let him do his thing sideline to sideline that way?
Well, I mean, a lot depends on what system Detroit's going to run and how they want to utilize him. I think he can play. I think eventually he can get to a point where he can play linebacker, play the middle, and be able to handle that. But if they need him to come off the ball, or if they need an extra pass rusher because of an injury or something like that, I think his versatility really helps him in that area, where he's just not a one-dimensional player, where he can come off the edge and he can learn that position. So, I mean, a lot of it just kind of depends on what Detroit needs from him, or, you know, down the line, whatever other team needs from him, if he's not a Lion. And it's just, as you talked about, they're getting away kind of from the bulky linebackers. You know, maybe he can fit in an outside position, maybe a little bit better. But I do think that he's going to have the traits to do it. It's just, you know, does he fit into the system that they want? And obviously they took him for a reason. They took him with a plan in mind. I mean, I just don't think NFL guys blindly take guys out of the sky with no plan for them. You know, and as you mentioned, Chris Spielman has a plan for Derek Barnes. And I like you guys, I'm kind of interested to see what that is, because, I mean, that's a tremendous mentor for him. But also to have a guy that, like Chris Spielman, who's going to have Derek Barnes' back in this whole situation and kind of hang with him throughout some struggles, which he will have.
Yeah. Well, he very clearly was a guy that the Lions wanted, because they traded up in the, right. You know, right. In the fourth round to get him. So,
yep. I just got a couple more for you. And this is hopefully a fun one. I'm kind of putting you on the spot again here, but if you could think back to Barnes' career at Purdue and point out maybe one play or one moment that kind of defines who he is as a person or player, what was it?
Wow, that's a hard one, because
or maybe a game. Was there a specific game where, like,
he had some nice games where he had a lot of tackles, he involved a lot of plays. Probably the most recent one would have been last year against Rutgers. Mm-hmm. He ended up getting ejected for targeting, which wasn't targeting.
No.
Which nobody knows what targeting
is. It rarely ever is. Yeah.
Good old college targeting.
It was raw. It was in the open field, and it came at a key moment of the game. But I remember the game because he had played that sideline to sideline game most of the night, and Rutgers was kind of running the ball against Purdue. But then when he got ejected for targeting, it came. I think it came on a third down play where Rutgers was in the red zone, and if, you know, Purdue would have held him to a field goal, it would have given Purdue a better opportunity. Rutgers ended up winning the game. But I just remember when he got called for targeting, just kind of the whole team kind of got deflated. It's like, oh, they took our best player off an average defense, and we have no chance now. but you know, there's not, you know, if there was one play, it was back to what I talked about earlier. You know, it was a negative play, but I think it was a play that kind of helped him get pushed in the right direction.
Yeah, shaped who he was.
Yeah. And, you know, and I think he learned from that, and he got going after that. And, you know, again, it's kind of hard with defensive guys to single out plays, because you just sometimes that doesn't register as much. But
sure,
he made enough of them to put himself in a position to get drafted in the NFL.
All right. Oh, do you have one more, Ryan? Go for it.
Well, I was just going to transition and say, as much as it pains me and some other Lions fans, Mike, how excited are you about Justin Fields in Chicago?
Well, I don't have a lot of trust in management.
Yeah, by the way, I don't know if we mentioned this on air, but Mike is a Bears fan and a Bears season ticket holder.
Yes. I'm not happy about a potential move to Arlington because that would add 30 minutes to my travel time to a game. But
the Arlington Bears.
Yeah, no, it'd still be Chicago. If there's a way they could do a stadium and keep the horse track there, put the horse track inside the stadium, I would be all for it. But because Arlington Park's a great, great place. Going into the draft, I wanted it to be a normal draft. I just wanted them to draft somebody that would help them this year, someone that would get on the field. And then when I, you know, everybody saw that they had moved up, I'm like, oh, my God, what are they going to do? And then not only did they move up, you're like, okay, how can they screw this up this time? I don't think they screwed it up. I would love nothing for him to be on the field for the first game, but I also understand that, I mean, you got to put your trust in the coaching staff to determine that.
Sure.
And if he's not ready, then he's not ready. He'll be ready when it's time. And I have just kind of been patient with it. Seeing him play in the Big Ten, you know, brings a lot of – it brings a different skill set that the Bears have not had.
Sure.
It's just a matter – you know, it's same way with all rookies. Can he get up to the speed of the game? And is it a much different position at quarterback where he's got much more to learn? But they also have to surround him with weapons too. You know, I worry about the offensive line. You worry about, you know, they don't really have a number two receiver outside of Allen Robinson. But he needs to have some success, but he's going to fail. He's going to have failures.
Yeah.
Whether it be a preseason game or a regular season game, he's going to have struggles. But at the end of the day, though, very kind of happy with the pick. Hopefully the quarterback debate can stop in Chicago, whether it be this year or next year.
How much of a leash are you giving the front office and the coaching staff at this point? Is it this year or bust?
Well, I think they bought themselves some time with Justin Fields.
Yeah.
Because
it's a strategic move, right?
Yeah, you can – it bought management another year, I think.
Yeah.
And if Fields does well, that means the Bears are going to do well.
True.
And, you know, if management sticks around 10 years, that means – the Bears are doing well, and I will hold no ill feelings toward them. But if things unravel, I guess they have to be raveled before they unravel. I'm not sure the Bears are actually raveled enough. They're like the big ball of string in the movie Vacation. They're just all together right there, right now. But they've been unraveled for a long time, so...
Mike is one of the most sensible Bears fans I think I've ever spoke to in my entire life.
being in this profession kind of forces it on you.
That's,
you know, I'm very enthusiastic when I go to games, but also I understand what's happening, why it's happening. And yeah, I should record the people that sit around us at Bears games because not only because of the language is very colorful, but some of the idiotic things that they say, I scratch my head because I just have no clue. And some of that's just, as you know, the beverages are talking.
Oh, yeah. Place. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
But there's a lot of irrational fans in every fan base, but the Bears seem to have their fair share.
We deal with a fair share of our own. I mean, if you're a Lions fan, period, I think some people would just call that delusion. But you know what? We all love each other.
Everybody's got a team. Everybody roots for a team.
Yeah.
And that's
it's our family.
Kind of the way it is.
It's an extension of our family. That's how I like to put it. Perfect. Anyways, that's Mike Carvin, the beat writer, the Purdue beat writer for the Journal and Courier. Thank you so much for joining us, Mike. I really appreciate it. I'll give you a moment here to plug your stuff, whether it's your Twitter account or anything maybe Lions fans or Purdue fans might be interested in hearing or reading.
I doubt that they're interested in anything that I do. I am on the Twitter machine at Carmen_JC. So I am on that. And sometimes I do a little 30-second video on Instagram.
Look at that.
Just I'm trying to be forward thinking and embracing technology.
Savvy.
As you go, I'm probably closer to retirement than I am anything else, but just trying to
kudos to you,
jump in with the kids. I have not and I will not pursue anything called TikTok.
You and me both, Mike.
Yeah, he's lying though. He's a big TikTok guy, and he won't admit it. Anyways, thank you all for joining us today. We'll be back with the main podcast on Monday night. We'll be doing our Green Room app for live Q&As on Saturday mornings at 10:30 a.m. Make sure you download that app and join us. But until then, thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll see you next time. It's Chaos. Be kind.